Good to be in the Lord's house this morning, and just thankful for the opportunity to be here. I believe that God is meeting here with us this morning. You have an opportunity to hear the voice of God, either through God's Word or God's Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Just thank you for being here. Thank you to all of our visitors for being here with us this morning. We just ask you to make yourself at home and take this opportunity to find whatever you came here looking for. I don't believe you're here by coincidence. I believe you're here by the divine will of God. And whatever you came here looking for this morning, I pray that you'll take a few minutes and listen with your heart and with your mind and let God speak to you as we get into God's Word here in just a few minutes. Before we do, I just want to make a quick, announcement, I guess you would call it. But after the first of the year, the first Sunday in the year, we're going to begin a new converts class as a Sunday school class. My brother Shane come to me and told me that he felt like that God had laid it on his heart to do it, and I was so thrilled because I had been praying that God would put it on somebody's heart. And that's one thing that I love about Fellowship Baptist Church is I have a lot of people come to me and say, I feel that God is leading me to do something. You know, in other places, I've had people come to me and say, I feel that God is leading me to tell you to do something. And here people are, they're willing, they're itching to do what God has put on their heart. So I want to invite all you new converts, and you say, well, who does that include? That includes anybody. Maybe you're not attending Sunday school right now, and you just say, now's a good time to go to Sunday school. They're starting a new class, and everybody in there is going to be new to it, and it's a good time to go. I encourage you to go to that. But also, Shane has a sort of a study outline that he's going to go to, some scriptures that he wished that he had known to turn to when he was a young convert, some things that he wished that he had known right after he got saved that would have strengthened his walk with Christ before he ran into some trouble. And he feels that God has put this on his heart to share with some people, and I want to encourage you to be here. You may say, well, I've been saved for 15 years, and I still feel like a new convert. Well, sometimes so do I. I've been saved since I was 7 years old, and sometimes I still feel like a new convert when I get into God's Word. But hopefully this will help you learn how to study God's Word some, and some go-to scriptures, some things maybe that we consider controversial, because people want to say, well, what do you believe about this, and what do you think about that? And there's going to be some opportunities for questions and answers, and so maybe that when you're witnessing to somebody and they say, oh yeah, but what about this? Maybe you can take them to God's Word. You don't have to give them your opinion on it anymore. You can take them to God's Word and say, well, this right here is what God's Word says. But also along with this class, we're also going to begin two other classes. We've had this need for a while. Susan has been teaching a class, and the age group has just got really wide range on it. So also that Sunday, we're also going to begin a 3 to 5 year old class, and Susan will continue teaching the 6, 7, and 8 year olds, and then we're also going to have a preteen class. Shane used to teach a preteen class, and kind of everybody moved out of that. Now I know that we have some preteens in our church, and we're also going to start that class that Sunday. So if you're here and you're thinking, well, I'm a new convert and I've got kids, hey, we'll find a place for them. We've got everything from nursery all the way up to old fogies. Not that we have any of those here. I'm just saying we have that available if anybody needs it. So if you will, go ahead and be thinking about that, be praying about that God will use this opportunity for us all to draw closer to Him and use us at Fellowship in the way that I really think that He wants to. Hey, Lynn was talking this morning about how blessed that we have been in 2017 here at Fellowship Baptist Church, but we haven't seen anything compared to what God is able to do when we just let Him have full control and follow Him and His Holy Spirit. So I'm really excited about what's coming up in the next year for us. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me this morning. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. God, I just want to ask you, dear Father, as we get into your word for just a few minutes, God, that you'll help me, God, that you'll clear my mind of everything else. God, I pray that you'll touch my sinuses this morning, God, and just let me preach, God, in the way that you had given it to me. God, I pray, dear Father, Lord, that you'll help us to open our hearts and open our minds. God, let us listen for that still small voice. My voice don't mean a whole lot, God, but God, I pray that your voice will be heard this morning. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they hear that voice, God, that they feel that tug, and that they surrender their lives unto you as their Savior. God, maybe there's Christians here this morning that we've walked away, that we've strayed, that we're not walking in the path that you have for us, God. I pray that today will be that day that we re-surrender, that we just say, not to be saved again, God, but just to say, I want to completely give my life unto you. God, I pray that you'll give us strength for that also. Have your will and way of this service this morning. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Luke chapter number 2. Seems like we've been in and around the book of Luke a whole lot here. this month, it being leading up to the Christmas month, and wow, as Tracy and Stephanie were singing this morning, to think of that day, that night when Jesus Christ was born, and what a gift it was given, but what a task was set before him laying there in that manger. But Luke chapter number 2, we're going to begin reading with verse number 7. The Bible says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Now I want you to know that this night when Jesus Christ was born, and the Bible tells us, and we studied last week about how there was no room for Mary and Joseph in the inn, and they were put out in this little stable, and that Jesus was born, and the Bible tells us that the angel said, "You shall know this, and it shall be a sign unto you, that you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then the Bible tells us that angels went and they appeared unto shepherds. You know what? One thing that excites me about these angels appearing to these shepherds out here in this field is, you know, shepherds were not of the top class here in Bible times. They were not the people that would get the important invitations to the important things going on in the community. And I'm glad that the Bible shows us here that Jesus didn't just come for the dignitaries. He didn't just come for what we would consider the important people or the rich or the upper class. But these angels, they went right out here to these men who were in a field, who were watching over some sheep that night. And they appeared unto them and said, "There is hope for you. There is glory for you. There is salvation for you." Now, is there also salvation for all of the ones that think their way up here? Absolutely. But I'm glad that Christ Himself, He came as a lowly child. He came and He said, "I'm here for you. You don't have to have X amount of dollars. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to have anything else. You just got to come when I say come." And if you're here this morning and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. It doesn't matter about your past. God wants to forgive you for all of your past and bring you into the family this morning. Christ was sent for whosoever. The Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not for certain people or specific people. But as I've read this scripture time and time again in my life, I've often wondered about the night when the shepherds were out here in the field. I've often wondered what the setting was. You know, in my mind, I was raised up on a farm, and I know that sometimes you go out in the middle of a cow pasture that it's very peaceful at night. You can go out there and everything's just laid down and everything's cool, and I imagine several times in my life that these shepherds were out here and they were in the middle of a field and maybe they had a little fire going and they were sitting around and just trying to be sure that everything stayed calm, that everything was just right in their life. But also, I believe that these guys, if they would have been there and they're out there for a long period of time watching these sheep, that could also get boring. It could get to a place where there's just not much happening in their life. It could almost get to a place where maybe it was empty for them. Maybe it was a place that they were saying, "Really? Is this all that I'm going to do? Sit around here and watch a bunch of these woolly boogers walk around every night? Bah. That's what my purpose on life is." And maybe it become empty for them. But also, I've thought time and time again about the darkness that was there that night. Maybe these shepherds, they were in just a dark place. Maybe they were in a place that, hey, they really couldn't see anything around. They had to listen and they had to to kind of take in their surroundings just by trying to strain their eyeballs or what they could see just right around them by the light of the fire. And maybe they were in a dark place. And then I've also thought, well, you know what? I have been in cow pastures before when maybe just a cow just had a calf and she's being very protective over this calf. And you get out there and you get those cows stirred up. And I have been in the middle of the woods before and cows running by me in the dark. Zoom, 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 zoom. And just stand behind a tree and say, oh, Lord, just let them all pass. I've been there before. Maybe it was a crazy night. Maybe there was a lot going on. I don't know. It could have been of either one of these settings. But I want you to know tonight that when these angels appeared to them, when this first angel appeared to them, the Bible tells us that they were afraid. The Bible tells us that they were sore afraid. And then all of a sudden, this heavenly host appears and they say, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I believe that everything changed, whether it was a calm night, whether it was a dark night, or whether it was a crazy night for them. I believe that everything changed. And I brought all this to our attention this morning to say this, no matter where your life is right now, Jesus Christ can change your life. If you're not happy with where your life is right now, maybe you're feeling empty. Maybe you're feeling like, what is the purpose of life? What am I supposed to be doing? And all I'm here for is to work and to pay bills and to see what all I can accumulate. There's a lot of emptiness in that. Maybe you're in a dark place in your life. Maybe 2017 hasn't been a wonderful year for you. Maybe you've lost loved ones. Maybe you've been through sicknesses. Maybe that you've got something in your past that you're trying to kick. Maybe you got some kind of addiction that is wearing on you, and then you're in a dark place. Or maybe your life is just crazy, and everything is just going by 100 miles an hour, and you don't know what's going on, and you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ can change any of that to the situation that He wants you to be in, if you will just surrender unto Him. These guys, their night changed just like that. You know, I can remember when I was 7 years old, and I can remember laying there in a bed one night when I was lost and undone, and God's Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart and draw me. And you say, well, how did you know that? Well, I remember praying a prayer every night before I went to bed, and I know I've shared this with you before, but I remember praying a prayer that now I lay me down to sleep, and I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, and when I got to that line in that prayer, I knew that if I died before I woke up, that to me as a 7-year old boy, it was this thought. It was that I'm going to be in hell, separate from my mom and dad and my brother, never to see them again. And God began to speak to my heart, and God began to draw me and twist my heart. And I can remember my heart just pounding. I mean, like, you know how when your adrenaline gets pumping, that's how my heart was pounding. And I remember getting up and going to my dad there in the living room. And I remember getting down beside our little old recliner and praying and asking God to forgive me for my sins. And you know what? I didn't understand everything about the Bible. I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. But what I did know is that when I got up off my knees, that my life had been changed right then and there. That my sins were forgiven. That I no longer had to worry about dying and going to hell. About being separated from the people that I love that know Jesus Christ. That I knew as a 7-year-old boy that my life was changed. Didn't understand how or why, but I knew that God had changed my life. Wherever you're at this morning, you know, it seems like we're living in a day and a time when there's a whole lot of darkness. It just seems like there's every other day that we're hearing of people taking their own lives. That we're hearing of people that they're trying to find an out, and they're taking opiates, they're taking heroin, they're drinking their problems away. And you know, whether you want to say sin, not sin, and all that, we won't argue that point right now. But what we'll argue is you got to be in a dark place to always be looking for an out from reality. You got to be in a dark place to be saying, you know what, there's got to be something better. Well, there is something better, but it's not in opiates. It's not in heroin. It's not in beer. It's not in any of that. It is in Jesus Christ. That's where you'll find a change for your life if you really need something to change in your life. God can change your life no matter what's going on. Well, preacher, you just don't know where I'm at. You don't know the struggles that's in my life. No, I don't. But I promise you, God does. And I promise you, He has sold us in His word. You don't have to take my word for it. Take His word for it. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. No matter what you're going through, that His grace is sufficient for you. He didn't say, I'm going to provide enough drugs to be sufficient for you. He didn't say, I'm going to provide enough alcohol to be sufficient for you. He said, my grace that I provided, that when I came to this earth in a little old manger, and I lived here on this earth, and I gave my life for you, that I am now sufficient. You don't have to look for an escape from reality. You don't have to look for an escape from life. I am your escape. I am what can change your life. You can have a change if you want it. But as I began to look at these shepherds, I'm going to get to the real message right here in just a minute. As I began to look at these shepherds and look what they were doing out here this night, these shepherds were out here guarding sheep. And it wasn't what the sheep was going to do, it was what the enemy, the predator, was going to do. And these guys were out here and they were in the middle of the night, and they would stay for long periods of time with these sheep and let them graze. And they would lead them to the places where they needed to find food. They would lead them to water. They would take care of them, and they were responsible for their safety. And as these sheep were out here, I've never had a sheep. My kids want sheep, but closest thing we might ever get is a goat. Now, that's just fact of the matter, because I don't know nothing about sheep. But as these sheep are out here, and you look and you say, well, how hard could it be to look after a bunch of sheep, and why would those sheep be so important? What in the world were these sheep? But I want you to look this morning. I want us to look for just a few minutes what these men were guarding. I want us to look for just a minute what these sheep were going to supply that was so important that somebody would set them out there and say, I need to pay you to make sure all of these sheep are safe. I want to take care of you in order for you to take care of my sheep. Now, some of these guys may have been watching 10 or 15 sheep. And then if you go back and look, you can find people in the Bible who own thousands of sheep. So there could have been thousands of sheep. But I want you to know that as these guys were out there that night and these angels appeared to them, watch what these guys do. The Bible tells us that they made haste, that they hurried up, and they left their sheep that somebody was out here paying them to watch, and they went to find Jesus. Let's look at these sheep for just a few minutes. First of all, sheep can be used, as I studied this week, and this is pretty just common sense. Sheep can be used for food. That in Bible times that they would eat sheep. And some of y'all probably have eaten sheep before. And if I have, I don't know it. But so what if I did? No big deal. But as these sheep are out here that night, these guys is guarding somebody's food. These guys are taking care of, hey, if we lose a sheep, we lost a meal. And I would assume the younger they are, the more tender they are. I just want you to know I don't have a heart for animals. Let's go ahead and we'll eat them. I'm not going to be cruel to them, but they're food. That's what God put them here for. So as these sheep are out here and these guys are looking after, hey, when they're looking out there, one thing that they might be looking at, they may be saying, hey, that's supper out there. We got to take care of supper. Hey, that's our steak that we're going to eat after a while. That's our next pot of stew that we're going to eat. We got to look after these sheep. But I want you to know that when the angels appeared unto these men, and the Bible says they made haste and went on to find Jesus, that they left all of that food standing out there. They left all of that out there and said, you know what? There's something that's more important than all of these sheep and all of this food. There is something more important, because we got to go see what these angels were telling us about. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 6, verse number 51. The Bible says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which will I give the life of the world. That this morning they may have been a bunch of little lambs out there. They may have been a bunch of sheep. They may have been whatever. There was a lot of food out there that night. But more importantly, the bread of life had showed up here on earth. That one that could sustain them forever and forever. I don't know about you guys, but I'm finding out with my 14-year-old son that he'll go somewhere and he'll eat lunch here in just a little while, and it won't sustain him for very long. In about 2 hours, he's saying, Daddy, I'm hungry. What are we going to eat? And I'm thinking, we just ate, son. How in the world can you be hungry? But he stays hungry constantly. But I want you to know that one day, as he was also 7 years old, when he met Jesus Christ, that the bread of life moved on the inside of him. All of that food that was walking around here in the form of a sheep wasn't as important as the bread of life that had moved to this earth. That when you get saved, that when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that the bread of life has been supplied. And the Bible tells us that the bread of life which came down from heaven, if any man shall eat of this bread, he shall live forever. I'm glad that all that food that those shepherds left walking around there in the field that night, it was nowhere as important as the bread of life that they went and found laying in a manger. Yeah, that was a lot of food out there. But they knew that there was more important. They knew that there was something more important as the bread of life was lying there in a manger. You also can look at those sheep and you can say, there's clothing. They would shear these sheep and they would take the wool and they would make clothing out of it. And as they're sitting here, and maybe one of these guys that owns all his sheep, he shears all of his sheep every year, and he sells it for a big profit. Maybe that's his whole purpose of having these sheep, just let them keep reproducing and produce more and more and more wool, that he gains more and more wealth. And they would go and they would shear these sheep, and I've watched documentaries on how they take wool from a sheep, and it goes through the process of making a coat and all that stuff. I don't understand it, but it's a really neat process. And they've been doing this for hundreds, thousands of years. And maybe as those shepherds were sitting there that night and the angels appeared, maybe when the angels said, "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger," maybe they thought, "Well, we can't leave all of these clothes standing out here. We're watching after somebody else's wealth. We're watching after somebody else's clothes that are out here walking around in this field. There's no way that we can leave that." But I'm glad that as the shepherds heard the angels that night, and the Bible tells us that they made haste and went and found Jesus. If you'll look with me over in Isaiah chapter number 61, verse number 10, the Bible says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." I'm glad that they may have been a lot of clothes walking around out there in the form of a sheep that night. But when the shepherds heard the angels' announcements, they knew that there was some clothing that was more important. I'm glad that the night that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, that he clothed me with his righteousness, that now when he looks at me, he doesn't see me in my righteousness, which the Bible tells me is as filthy rags, but yet he sees that robe of righteousness that I have been wrapped in. He sees me as one that has been forgiven of my sins, that my past is gone. I will never stand accountable for my sins because Jesus Christ has clothed me with his righteousness. My mind is still awful. My heart is still awful. And if you knew me as a man, you would say, "I can't believe that we stand and listen to him preach." And I would say, "Amen, I agree with you." But I'm glad that when Jesus Christ looks at me, that he doesn't see that. He sees me clothed in the righteousness of my Heavenly Father. Yeah, there might have been a lot of clothing out there, but there was no robes of righteousness. They could have wrapped themselves up with every sheep that was out there, and it would not have covered the filthiness that we are. But I want to tell you, right there laying in a manger, there was a robe of righteousness. I don't know how many people really understood what it was laying there. I know that Mary did. I know that some of the others standing around there that night may have. But there was a robe of righteousness that once he gave his life, a ransom for your sin and for my sin, that we are now clothed with a robe of righteousness. Also, they could have been standing out there that night. And, you know, in Exodus chapter number 25 and verse number 5, we're not going to turn there. Excuse me. In Exodus chapter number 25 and verse number 5, they are instructing on how to build the temple. And they say, "We're going to take ram skins and dye them red and cover the temple." That these ram skins were going to be protection from the outside elements. These ram skins were going to be used as part of the exterior to protect you while you were on the inside. So as those shepherds were there that night, they may have been looking and saying, "You know what? There's a whole lot of covering out here. There's a whole lot of protection out here that we're looking after." Because one of these guys, they may have been raising their sheep in order to have something to skin out and to give the ram skin to someone to cover a building, to cover a dwelling. But I want you to know, as the angels came to the shepherds that night, when they said, "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes," I'm glad they didn't go, "Hey, wait a minute, no, we're looking after some protection out here." Psalms chapter number 18, verse number 2. The Bible says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress." Hey, those ram skins, they may have been protection from some outside elements, but I'm glad that this morning standing here, that I am standing on a rock and that Jesus Christ is my fortress. I'm glad that I have protection from anything that this world has to give me. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. I'm not depending on these walls or this ceiling or the tin that's on the top of this building to protect me. Because I want you to know that anything could happen and all of this could come falling down. That anything could happen and everything around us could be wiped out. But I want you to know that I have one protecting me this morning. That I'm in the palm of his hands this morning. That he knows what's going to happen to me the rest of today, the rest of the week. And he is my protection. He is my fortress. I'm glad that the shepherds didn't say, "Oh, there's protection out here. We got to watch these sheep and we got to be sure that they're taken care of." Because I want you to know that your real protection is in Jesus Christ. Your real protection. Hey, in the days that we're living in, nothing would surprise me. If we all got out of church today and we looked at our phone and all of a sudden we're getting a warning from our government that it's fixing to hit the fan and you need to prepare and you need to take care of anything because it's getting ready to go, that wouldn't surprise me. Not at all. If we got home tonight and we watched the news and we found that Korea is launching more missiles and they're prepping for war, that wouldn't surprise me. Just the way everything is right now. And they want to say, you need to get prepared for this. Well, I'm glad that I prepared for this when I was 7 years old. I couldn't do anything any better than what God's going to do. Hey, do I want to get blown up by a missile? No. Do I want to get taken out by a bomb? No, I don't. But I want you to know that if that does happen, y'all just look for me on the other side. I'll be there waiting on you. I'm prepared. I'm ready. My protection is in Jesus Christ. Hey, I've got guns all over my house. I carry one with me a whole lot of times. I think that we should be protected as much as we possibly can the day and the time that we're living in. I lock my doors at night when I go in, but you know what? I'm not depending on any of that to protect me. I am planning and I am counting on Jesus Christ to protect me day in and day out throughout this walk of life. These guys, they also use these sheep for trade. I'll be done in just a minute. They also use these sheep to trade. To get other goods and service. Hey, maybe somebody else had a cow and you were sick of eating sheep. It's time to trade for a cow. You wanted a little bigger steak. Or maybe the lady down the road could cook a pie and you would take her some of that nice back strap, some of that tenderloin off of your sheep and say, hey, if you'll fix me a pie, I'll give you some tenderloin. They would use this for trade purposes. And they would trade what they had for something else that they needed. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You don't have to turn. Shannon's got it for us. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9. We're going to read through verse number 11. I want you to look right here what the Bible is telling us that we have. Look at this. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Okay, that explains me right there. Unrighteous. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So all of these people are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So you know what? None of us have a chance. That's what we have. That's who we are. You say, oh, preacher, I've never done any of those things. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you've ever told one little white lie, you're just as guilty as any of these. If you've ever done anything that is against God, then you've done just as bad as any of these, and you're in the same boat. And the Bible tells us that you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There is no, that's what you have. Now, let's go to verse number 11. And such were some of you. That's what you have. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You just traded something. You took what you had, you took what we have, being unrighteous, being unholy, having dirty minds, having black hearts, and we took that and we traded it for the righteousness of God, and now us that could not enter into the kingdom of heaven because we had all of that, we just traded it for eternal life. I'm glad that night when the angels come and they announce unto the shepherds that ye shall find the babe, and the shepherd said, let us make haste. I want to encourage you this morning to quit looking after whatever you think you're looking after. Quit being who you are. Make haste and go unto Jesus because he is a good trade this morning for whatever you've got going on. Jesus Christ is a good trade. Man, I'm glad I made that trade a long time ago. Most of the time I lose on trades. I used to trade on horses a little bit and I'd buy them for about $600 and work with them for about 30 days and I'd sell them for about $400 and made a lot of money doing it. I just had to buy more horses. I've never been good at trading. I can't trade because I get in a hurry. I get to where, no, I got to do it now. I got to do it now. I got to do it now. And I go to cut my price until I lose money. But I want to tell you the night that I accepted Jesus Christ and I traded my sin and my shame and my eternal home in hell and I traded that for a robe of righteousness, for his blood on my life, for his blessing on my life, I made a good trade that day. Write her down. I made a good trade. They also, especially where these men were looking after these sheep, if you'll go back and study, these men may have very well been looking after the sheep who would be sacrificed. Now, before Jesus Christ came, in order to make atonement for your sin, you had to make a sacrifice every year. and they would take your sacrifice into the temple, under the Holy of Holies. And I'm not going to get into all that because I'll preach another 15, 20 minutes. But they would take your sacrifice in there, and that would make your atonement for your sin. And these men, especially where they were at, especially in this region where they were watching these sheep, could have very well been watching after somebody's sacrifice. And this sacrifice had to be spotless. It had to be perfect, without blemish. And they had to keep a special eye on this sacrifice. And the night that the angels appeared to them and said, "Go to Bethlehem and see the baby," they could have said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. We're on an important mission right here. We are watching over this sacrifice. We are making sure that nothing happens to this, because this is going to be the atonement." I'm glad they didn't do that, but they made haste and they went and found our sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God. I'm glad that they made haste and went and found Jesus. They made haste and they went and found one that came to this earth for the sole purpose to be your sacrifice and to be my sacrifice. These guys were out here watching a bunch of sheep. Everything changed in just a few moments in their life. And they had all of this that was before them, and they said, "No, we're going to make haste and we're going to go to find Jesus." I want you to know this morning that if you're here and you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ, that he came to be your sacrifice. And you may be sitting here and saying, "No, I don't think he came for me. He probably come for people like Linda. And he probably come for people like Bradley. And he probably come for people like Danny. But he probably didn't come for people like me." I want you to know, it does not matter what you have done in your past. It does not matter what sin you have committed. Let me go ahead and say this. People may not ever forgive you or forget it, but I promise you that God will forgive you and he will forget it. The Bible tells me that he'll cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me again. That he will give you perfect forgiveness if you trust him. That night when the shepherds came and they found Jesus there in the manger, they found the perfect sacrifice. Christ came to this earth. Look, on Christmas, we all like to think about the baby Jesus. I like the baby Jesus. That's what we think in our mind. But this baby Jesus, if you go back and you read this a little bit, and you read about his life, he was sent here for one purpose, and that was to make atonement for your sin. He was brought here to hang on a cross and to give his life for you. Will you trade? Will you trade? Will you say, "No, I'm out here doing something really important. I'm watching all these sheep." Or will you say, "God, you've announced something to me this morning. Hey, I know that I'm no angel. And I know as I'm standing up here this morning that I'm not singing with a heavenly voice and the sky didn't light up. And I mean, I could just imagine what it looked like when this host of heavenly angels appeared to the shepherds that night. I can just imagine it. And probably don't even come close to where, and I know I don't look anything like that. And I don't sound anything like that. But if you're here this morning and you need Jesus Christ, I want to announce to you that he's waiting for you to come find him. And you say, "Well, wait a minute, preacher. I thought Christ found us." Hey, he did. That's the reason you're here. He's already wooed you this far. He's already brought you this far. He's already kept you safe this far. How many times could you have already left this world lost and undone? And God has kept his hand on you to bring you to this point right here today. To bring you to a place to where you could hear about the announcing of Jesus Christ. Hannah, come on, get us an invitational hymn, please. Invitational song. To bring you to the place to where you could hear that small, still voice and listen to your heart. Now this day when the shepherds, they went and they found Jesus Christ and they found the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice that made an atonement, that gave us an opportunity to trade, that clothed us in his righteousness, that was the bread of life for us. They found everything they needed. And you know what? This world's going to tell you that you need a lot of things. This world's going to tell you that you need a college education. This world's going to tell you that you need good finances. This world's going to tell you that you need all that they have to offer. But I want to tell you what, when your last breath is taken, there's going to be only one thing that you need, and that's Jesus Christ. That's the only thing you're going to need. The rest of it's not going to amount to much. Hey, you may leave a legacy. You may, "Oh man, that was the best businessman I know. That was the best whatever. He really took care of his family. He really whatever. Or she was the best mom that I know. Or, you know, they was a really good kid. And I want you to know just something, that people leave this world at every age. I mean, right now, I used to know the statistic of how many people died every 2 or 3 seconds. I mean, it's just like every 3 or 4 seconds that somebody dies in the United States. Not in the world, but in the United States. So while we've been here this morning, people have dropped off into eternity about every 3 or 4 seconds. One day my name is going to be called. One day my number is going to come up. But you know what? It's not just me. Yours is too. And I would like to tell you, 65, 70, 80, 90, you got that. But you don't. Just this week, how many young people have you read their obituary? Just this week. And I want to tell you, if you look next week, you can find the same. From every age, are you ready to meet Jesus Christ just like you are? It's been announced. Here he is. He has come for you. Now, are you going to stay and do what you feel is so important? Or are you going to go and find Jesus? And every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. I want you to look in your heart right now. Nobody matters. The person beside you don't matter. Your mom and dad don't matter. Your kids don't matter. Your grandpa, your church membership, none of that matters. What matters is, have you forsaken all and went and found Jesus? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you just lift your hand and let me pray for you? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I won't speak your name to no one except for God. I just want to be able to say, God, help them. Give them strength. Give them courage. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Anywhere, all over the church. Maybe you're here this morning. You've been saved for a long time. And you remember the announcement. You remember the day that God spoke your name and drew you, and you forsook all, and you went running to Christ. But I want to ask you, are you still forsaking all? Is all that still behind you? Is Christ still number one? Let me go ahead and tell you, I don't mind admitting it, that he's not number one in my life. That he's not always what I put first in my life. Would you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I want God to be first. God sees your hands all over the church. Amen. It's so easy to pick things back up when everything has been provided through Jesus Christ. Lord, I just want to thank you and I want to praise you for this opportunity that we have to come to you. You told us to come boldly to the throne of grace. God, I just want to come boldly to you. And I want to say thank you and praise you and worship you that everything that I need was provided there in that manger. But God, that he gave his life for me and provided an atonement for my sins. God, all over the church, we have people who are concerned about you being first in their life. All over the church, we have people who said, I remember when I ran to Christ, but man, there's stuff that's come in the way. And God, I pray that you'll help us all to put you first in our life. God, help us all to realize that what we're doing here is nowhere near as important as if we're ready for eternity. God, maybe there's one here that couldn't raise their hand, that don't know you as their personal Savior. Maybe they just couldn't find that courage. God, I pray that you'll continue to speak to their heart. Give them another opportunity before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name.